Welcome into the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. I'm Jordan Hamm. Podcast is, of course, on Sports 360 AZ. We are covering all things baseball within the state of Arizona. Have a lot of Diamondbacks things to talk about, including AJ Pollock, Wilmer Flores, TJ McFarland, and kind of what's going on with the Arizona Diamondbacks right now. We are also joined by Corey Hahn. He is the coordinator of the Diamondbacks Pro Scouting Division, and just one of the best dudes you'll ever come across in this baseball scene. Corey, obviously working for the Diamondbacks, is an ASU Sun Devil, and in 2011, he was a highly touted freshman who in his third game, he slid headfirst into second base, and it was a freak accident where he was left paralyzed from the chest down and suffered a spinal cord injury and has been in a wheelchair ever since. But that has not stopped him. And him, along with his fellow ASU teammate and buddy Trevor Williams, who's with the Pittsburgh Pirates now, they formed Project 34, which is a foundation that helps those with spinal cord injuries and helps take the pressure off, whether it be financially or emotionally. They are a great support, a great foundation, and they've only been around for a year, but they have a pretty cool event happening this Saturday on January 26th, the Dingers in the Desert. You'll learn more about that when Corey and I sit down and have a discussion about that, about Project 34, and about his time with the Diamondbacks. But first, let's go over what's going on with the Snakes. I believe the last time we spoke was when Paul Goldschmidt made his departure. There is another 2009 draftee making a departure, and that's AJ Pollock. He is headed to the NL West rival Dodgers. Let that sink in for a second. AJ Pollock to the Dodgers. It just feels a little bit weird. Now, we'll see what that means for their chances with Bryce Harper. I would think they're now out of it because the reports right now is that their next target is JT Realmuto, the catcher for the Miami Marlins, to kind of be the backstop for them. So it sounds like they're out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. We'll see kind of what goes with that. For the Dodgers, I think they're getting a very good player in AJ Pollock. He does a lot very well. He hits for power. He hits for average. He plays a good center field. He runs the base as well. He can get you some stolen bases. When healthy, that's the big key for him. He's really struggled staying healthy over the years, really since his breakout year in 2015. Last year, as a 31-year-old, he hit .257. He slashed .257, .316, .484, 21 home runs, 65 RBIs, and 13 stolen bases in 113 games. Again, it's just going to be strange. Now, this opens things up for the Diamondbacks a little bit as well, because since he rejected a qualifying offer, and he signed a deal that is slated to be above $50 million, the Diamondbacks get another competitive balance pick in the first round. So competitive balance A. We'll get to why that is so, so important. So it's a tough pill to swallow if you're a Diamondbacks fan, having him move on to an NL West rival, a team that has been probably the most hotly contested rival, I think that's fair to say, against the Diamondbacks. But what helps is that competitive balance pick. Now, right now, Diamondbacks have the number 16 overall pick. They have the number 26 overall pick. That's compensation because they didn't sign last year's first rounder, Matt McClain. He opted to go to UCLA. So they were able to pick up another first round pick. Number 32 is a compensation pick for Patrick Corbin, and then it should be number 33. I've seen 33, 34. The picks are going to get worked out here eventually. That's the compensation pick for AJ Pollock. By comparison, last year, you looked at the Royals, you looked at the Rays. They had multiple picks in this area, and you kind of saw their farm systems jump up the ranks. And that's been a priority for Mike Hazen since he got here. The cupboard was very bare for the minor leagues. They had some guys that have contributed well. You think of Zach Godley, who's made the jump and been a guy, a rotation guy the past 2 years. Matt Cook is another one of those guys. But they don't have that depth. They don't have the same firepower that the Dodgers have, that the Padres have. They've consistently been in the bottom third, their farm systems. And it's they've had some high upside, high A guys that they've had to deal quite a few of those in the J.D. Martinez deal. In the, you know, relievers that they got on the, you know, towards the trade deadline last year, Steven Souza, all of those guys were high upside guys. They just weren't top. You didn't really recognize the names. You didn't recognize the rankings because they weren't AAA guys. They weren't AA. They weren't AAA. They were the high A guys, which had high upside. So Mike Hazen's made it very clear that in trading Paul Goldschmidt and not being able to re-sign Patrick Corbin and not being able to re-sign AJ Pollock, that's one of the priorities is replenishing this farm system. And not just so that they have players that they can call upon, you know, a couple years down the road and have quality ball players. Of course it's about that, but it's also about being able to trade. Because you're still going to be handcuffed by the Zach Greinke contract until you trade him. And even if you do trade him, you're probably going to have to eat part of that money. So free agency is going to be a struggle until Zach Greinke has moved on from the Diamondbacks. But all of a sudden, then you can start to make deals through trading for some high upside guys, using those some of those players as assets. And I'm sure a portion of them are going to fully develop and go through. But let's look at the Royals and the Rays from last year. They had pick number eight. This is the Royals. Pick number 18, pick number 33, pick number 34, pick number 40 in the first round and a half, let's call it, because the comp picks, they never add up to like a full round. On the other side, Tampa Bay, 16, 31, 32, 56. Diamondbacks right now, 16, 26, 32, 33. Now, let's keep that going. 16, 26, 33, 34, 56, 75, and 78. Those are all Diamondback picks. Those are all very valuable. Jeff Passan of ESPN now saying that they should have the most draft money in 2019, and it's probably not even close. That's a huge deal for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And if you don't think it's a huge deal, let's point to AJ Pollock again. In the 2009 draft, the Arizona Diamondbacks, with their first-round pick, selected AJ Pollock. They had a competitive A pick. They selected Chris Owings. Round 8, they got Paul Goldschmidt. Round 9, Chase Anderson, who was a nice up-and-coming pitcher for the Diamondbacks. Now he's a pretty good rotation piece for the Milwaukee Brewers. So if you tell me that these draft picks don't necessarily matter, I'm blatantly going to disagree with you. They also got Matt Davidson in that pick, who's an up-and-coming third baseman for the White Sox. They ended up dealing him. Same goes for Keon Broxton, who was with the Brewers last year. Now he's with the New York Mets. Specifically, those other two, those were the picks that we're discussing right now in the first roughly 56 picks. I get you can argue Goldschmidt was round 8. Like, what a steal that was. Chase Anderson was round 9. So those aren't the picks we're talking about right now, but the more firepower you have, the better. And if you're the Diamondbacks, you're number 16 in this draft, you got to pray that you have the same luck as the Tampa Bay Rays, because Matthew Liberatore fell to them. The Mountain Ridge pitcher, Keith Law, said he was the number 3 overall prospect and the top left-handed pitcher in college, in high school, in that draft class. And for whatever reason, he fell to pick number 16. So the Diamondbacks can have that sort of good fortune. And the key is going to be, you know, they weren't able to accomplish this last year, signing all of those picks. You need to sign that pick. Matt McClain, at pick number 25, that hurts when you aren't able to pick him. But this draft is going to be so huge. I could argue it's bigger than when they had the number one overall pick with Dansby Swanson. Now, you can probably argue that because he got dealt so quickly, but with this new-ish regime, and I say new-ish because they're now entering their third year, you're seeing Mike Hazen start to make those moves to set it up with his guys. I think that's very, very important. I think that's huge. Okay? You look at what he's been able to do. A lot of it, he's mentioned, has had to be creative because of a deal that he didn't sign with Zach Greinke. And Greinke's been very good. Again, I don't want him to be kind of the guy that has to fall on the sword time and time again. But when it's 30 plus million a year, that really makes things tough on a general manager trying to stay competitive. He's made deals that people haven't agreed with. People argue that Paul Goldschmidt shouldn't have been dealt. Yes, he should have. You need to get something for a Paul Goldschmidt, and it's never going to be worth fully what Paul Goldschmidt is. But this team was running out of gas, losing Patrick Corbin, and you're not able to re-sign a guy of a similar quality. They were more than likely going to lose an AJ Pollock. They eventually did. You weren't going to be able to re-sign him of a similar quality. So go in now to make that trade. With these draft picks, I think that they can replenish. They can accomplish a lot. They need to hit, obviously. They definitely need to hit, but they can accomplish a ton with this. So let's switch gears to a couple other additions and re-signings that have happened in recent weeks. Wilmer Flores, most notably with the Mets, an infielder, has a good bat, makes a lot of contact. Has a little bit of pop. On the offensive side, I like this signing. I think he's a nice addition because when you're missing a Paul Goldschmidt, right-handed bat, AJ Pollock, right-handed bat, you're going to need somebody with a little bit of pop. And yeah, he's not going to replace those two, but he is a serviceable big league hitter. Now, where I kind of take issue with the signing and the game plan that they have for Wilmer Flores is it sounds like the plan is going to be to cement him at second base. The bulk, he has versatility. He's got a little bit of a Daniel Descalzo in him where he can play multiple positions, but he doesn't have the defensive skills that Descalzo necessarily had. But it sounds like he's going to be, if not the everyday second baseman, he's going to have a lot of time at second base. So that moves Ketel Marte, who has been a nice up-and-coming player, still, I think, finding his footing on the offensive side of the ball, but has been an elite defender since he came to Arizona from Seattle. You move him and that middle infield pairing of Nick Ahmed, Ketel Marte, you move him to the outfield and to play center field. And typically, with defense in baseball, you kind of look at the guys up the middle. Those have to be kind of your best defenders. At the catching position, we have Carson Kelly, who's been a noted, very good defensive catcher. Alex Avila, John Ryan Murphy. But you lose Jeff Mathis, who is a veteran defensive guru and one of the best framers in all of baseball. So you lose him. Now you're replacing him with Carson Kelly. I think he'll end up being pretty good. It may take some time, but it should end up being pretty good. Then you transition from an elite defensive middle infield with Nick Ahmed and Ketel Marte. You put Wilmer Flores there, and that is not the same defense. Then in center field, you have where you had AJ Pollock for the bulk of it. He is now replaced by Ketel Marte, learning a new position. And I think as a young player, we kind of saw this with Brandon Drury a lot. He was a nice up-and-coming player, but he was juggling so many different positions that I think it might have been a disservice. He eventually set on second base, but I think that happened a little too late for him, where he had to juggle so much defensively that offensively, there wasn't as much focus as there necessarily should have been. That could happen with Ketel Marte when you move him to center field. And he said he's game. He referenced it last year. He just wants to find the field. I love that mentality, but I just don't know if it's in there. We saw that happen with Chris Owings. He tried it. He was fine, but there were plenty of moments where it was rough in center field because he's not a true outfielder. Then you look across the board. At third base, you're more than likely going to have Eduardo Escobar. And yes, he can move around the diamond as well. He's got some nice versatility to him as well. It's not a Torey Lovello team. It's not a Mike Hazen team unless there's some versatility. So you have Eduardo Escobar. At short, you have Nick Ahmed. Nice defensive player. You have Wilmer Flores at second base. And then first base, Jake Lamb, Christian Walker. And you're replacing Jeff Mathis behind the plate. Now, Jake Lamb, I think, was a good defensive third baseman. I don't think he was bad by any means. I don't think he was gold glove quality, but he was good. But you have him moving over to first base, and you have Christian Walker, who's known more for his bat. And this is a comment more upon the guy leaving than the two guys coming in, but you're not going to get that defense out of first base that Paul Goldschmidt gave you, no matter how good, realistically, we can expect the first base defensive alignments to be. It's just not going to meet what Paul Goldschmidt did. So I think across the board, in the infield, the defense goes down. In the outfield, Ketel Marte in center, more than likely David Peralta in left, and Steven Souza Jr. in right. You have two corner guys around Ketel Marte that will definitely help him. Those are two good defensive outfielders. But I would almost rather have it Steven Souza in center field or Dyson in center field. Mixing in one of those two. I know Dyson's probably not an everyday player, but this defense and pitching is what helped this team. You think of the big cracks that showed throughout the year, the last 2 years, with these Torey Lovello-led teams, and it was the offensive side when it felt like they just couldn't quite equate. And then in the first year, they got J.D. Martinez. He set the world on fire. They made the playoffs. Last year, that doesn't happen. They don't make the playoffs. But the offense was the most average aspect of that team. And it was the defense and the pitching that kind of carried them. Now you're weakening that defense as well. So that's where I have issues with the strategy. I like the signing of Wilmer Flores. Again, he's a versatile guy. I like his bat in that lineup. But not sure kind of what to make of the defensive alignments moving forward. TJ McFarland signs a one-year deal, a 2020 option with a club that's on the club side, club option. I think this is a great move. They avoid arbitration. TJ McFarland has been so underappreciated within this bullpen. He can come in, get you one out, or he can come in and give you four innings and save a bullpen if a guy goes down to injury as a starter or he just gets knocked out of the game early and you still need to fill those innings. You're not burning your entire bullpen the following day because TJ McFarland multiple times came in and used that sinker and just got outs. Had a 2.0 ERA, had a career year, got hurt towards the end of it, but the key for him in his first year under the Lovello era, he had a great first half, really struggled the second half, and we talked about him maintaining. I think he did that, everything but health-wise. So I think that this is a no-brainer signing. You strengthen your bullpen in what's presumed to be a weaker rotation. Now you can shorten the game with TJ McFarland and his versatility. So I think that's a home run with that signing. Speaking of home runs, Corey Hahn joins me. He's talking dingers in the desert on Diamonds in the Desert. This is put on by Project 34. You may be aware of it. You may be aware of Corey Hahn's story. Right now, he's the coordinator of pro scouting for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's an ASU Sun Devil. In 2011, as a freshman on the ASU baseball team, he came from modern day, was Mr. Baseball in California. He played with the likes of Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, the two guys controlling the offseason this year, Nick Castellanos. He was on all of those big showcases, and he was drafted pretty late, but it's because he wanted to go and play at ASU and develop. And he was going to be a big-time contributor for them as a freshman. His third game of the season, he slides headfirst, suffers a spinal cord injury, and is now in a wheelchair. But that has not stopped him. His story hasn't ended there. He has continued to inspire so many people, and the Diamondbacks hired him out of ASU. He finishes, gets his degree. ASU hires him, or excuse me, the Diamondbacks hire him, and he is continuing to inspire. And I was able to sit down with Corey leading into this event, and he shared about Project 34, about Dingers in the Desert. And he joins the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. Diamonds in the Desert is now joined by Corey Hahn, the director of pro scouting for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamonds in the Desert talking Dingers in the Desert. Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about Project 34, which was founded by you and your fellow Arizona State baseball alum, Trevor Williams. Just how did this organization come about?
Yeah, we started Project 34 a little over a year ago, and it's while we started, you know, not too long ago, it's been something that we've had in our minds for a long time. I think one of the many things that Trevor and I have in common is our willingness to want to give back to the community and make an impact. And for years, you know, being roommates together and just being best friends together, we've always talked about wanting to get back to the spinal cord injury community and do everything we can. And you know, he's been able to see firsthand some of the things I go through on a regular basis and some of the needs I have and how fortunate I've been. And together, we put our minds to it last offseason, and we're finally able to be in a position in both of our lives to where we felt comfortable at this time to take on this next challenge and put this thing in motion. So while it's only been around for a little over a year, we've had this idea for quite a while.
What was the biggest challenge having it go from an idea that you guys discussed to a full-fledged organization?
I think there's many challenges in it, just from finding time in life and finding time in our lives at the right time and getting the good people around us and finding the right time to launch this thing at a critical moment in what we have going on with spinal cord injuries and whatnot. And so just balancing that out and putting all those things together, we found that this was our most opportune time. You know, he's pretty established in his profession with Major League Baseball right now. I'm pretty established with my job with Diamondbacks, and we found that this is the right opportunity, along with the group of people we put together with. They're in the right spot too. And I think when you have this idea, you realize how great it is and how special it could be, but you also have to keep in mind how much time and effort is going to be put into this and how much hard work is going to be required to change lives and to make an impact. And we realize that this is the time that we have that opportunity to do that.
Project 34 is there to provide support for those with spinal cord injuries. Just going through your injury in 2011, just what sort of support was needed as you were going through that injury?
Yeah, the first thing I could say to you is that this isn't a broken arm. This isn't a Tommy John injury. This isn't a torn ACL. This is something that's a lifelong battle. This isn't something you recover from within 18 months and you're back to normal. This is something that you deal with on a regular basis for months, for years, for decades, and on forth. It's definitely a life journey. And so, you know, it's something that to keep that in mind, it becomes pretty scary realizing how much, you know, there is to be needs to be needed, with whether it's from, you know, the proper wheelchair that fits the person correctly to all the medical supplies they need on a regular basis, sort of the medical prescriptions, the medical doctor visits they have on a regular basis, leading all the way until to the rehab process as well. Everything from putting through your workouts, getting more independence, and just keeping your body healthy. And we battle with a lot of those things as well. And so it's critical that you keep your body healthy on a regular basis, and all the way up to that, all the way up to, you know, home modifications, making someone's life more accessible, more independent, more fulfilling. And so the whole spectrum is altered through an injury like this, and there's so many needs that need to be met, whether it's through the simplest of things as a medical prescription to the biggest of things as the proper wheelchair or to the proper equipment in their house to have them to live a fulfilling life.
How important was it for you going through this to have that support you received from Arizona State, from the Diamondbacks, right around when you were injured?
Oh, it was paramount for me, to be honest. You know, I don't think I can say with 100% confidence that I'm not where I'm at today without that help and support. You know, with the type of doctors I was surrounded by, with the rehab facility I was surrounded by both in Phoenix and in California, followed by the rehab facilities I go to in California and in Phoenix. And then also, you know, with, like you mentioned, with Arizona State allowing me to come back to school and get my degree and giving me the opportunity to chase my dreams and tackle that challenge. You know, with the Arizona Diamondbacks giving me the opportunity to live a, you know, the dream world and working baseball in my sense to stay in the game. And then also, you know, you look at like the people around me, the Arizona State baseball team, bringing me into the team still, keeping me involved and pushing me and allowing me to push myself. I think I've been surrounded by so many great people, from my family all the way to complete strangers, who have been wanting to lend a helping hand to allow me to push myself to the limit. You know, it's amazing when you look at it that way, because don't get me wrong, I am where I am today because of a lot of hard work, a lot of determination, dedication, and just passionate to achieve my goals. But, you know, without the help and support of the people around me, those things don't happen. And you realize that, you realize how special it is to have that type of support on a day-to-day basis. And then I know it's got me to where I am now.
Talking to Corey Hahn, the co-founder of Project 34. Let's talk about this Dingers in the Desert event on this Saturday. Sounds like a really cool event. Just how did this event come about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this Saturday, January 26th, out at Phoenix Municipal Park, home of the ASU baseball team. So we're really excited to bring it back to, you know, our home roots as well. But it's gonna be an exciting home run derby event that it came together, you know, pretty organically through the two of us and through our group of friends that we are helping us with this. It's pretty fitting, to be honest, to do a baseball style event. That was something we gravitated right away. And you know, we had a couple things in mind. We wanted to do something in the off season. We wanted to do something that was gonna be fun and interactive. We wanted to do something that was gonna be fun for fans, fun for families, and allow them to come out and just enjoy a fun time and have fun and just cheer on some guys hitting some really, really far baseballs and do it for a great cause. I think when you put all that into perspective, you realize how exciting of an event that could be. And when we ironed out the details and ironed out the dream and the vision of it, it was a pretty easy slam dunk go for us to launch this, and we finally were able to put it all together.
So you and Trevor Williams will be there. Who else is participating? I know there are a couple current ASU players that will be a part of it, as well as a few Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, so we're doing a really cool format. We're gonna do a youth division for 10 to 12-year-olds. Allow some youngsters to come out and hit some balls and have them be hitting some home runs in front of some big leaguers and some pretty cool fans. And we're also gonna do a college version. We're gonna put Spencer Torkelson versus Carter Aldretti up again for round three and allow them to duke it out. They've had a couple home run derbies in the past, so we're gonna give them the opportunity to be on the big stage again in front of fans and big leaguers. And then we're gonna have our main event as well, where it's gonna be we're gonna have big leaguers, minor leaguers involved. We're gonna have guys like Scott Kingery and Bobby Dahlbeck, who, for you ASU Sun Devil fans, I'm sorry for bringing in some Wildcats, but for the cause, I hope you can understand. But we'll have some guys like that. We're gonna have Matt Davidson, who's a guy who just was had a great season with the White Sox, and we're gonna have guys like him as well. Drew Stankiewicz, fellow Sun Devil, is gonna be involved, and a few other guys as well. DJ Peterson, a guy in the local guy in the valley, went to University of New Mexico, and first round pick. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have a lot of guys who have a lot of power. For the guys who haven't seen guys like Bobby Dahlbeck hit and Dustin and DJ Peterson and Matt Davidson hit and Scott Kingery hit, and these guys hit, and they hit them a long way, so it's going to be fun.
As you're navigating your first couple major events for Project 34, how do you want this to grow a couple years down the road?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is continue to spread awareness of spinal cord injuries and what a spinal cord injury entails, and allow people to see that this is a battle that we're not going to stop with, and we're going to keep fighting for it and keep letting this thing grow organically. I think for year one, we're really excited just to get this thing off the ground, and I think as years go, this is going to be one of our staple events. This is going to be something that we're going to want to do every single year because it's fun, it's a great time of the year, it's a great environment, and we're just going to let it grow, continue to attract a lot of people come out for a great cause, and get a chance to see some really, really unique individuals and special individuals, you know, hit home runs for a great cause. You have to, you know, the other thing to take consideration is these guys are the guys participating are taking time out of their days, out of their lives, out of their off season to be a part of this. And when you realize that, man, it's amazing how special it is to have people like that around who are willing to help us do some amazing things for some families in need and for some people in need. And when you're able to look at that, I think we just allow it to keep growing and growing and grow as big as it can. There's no really limit to this, and we just keep growing this up and keep filling up Sun Devil Stadium, and I'll put on a show for them.
Your Twitter bio says you want to inspire the uninspired. When people think of the name Corey Hahn, what do you want them to think about?
You know, first and foremost, I just want them to think of somebody who just continues to work hard and chases their dreams. That's important to me because I'm a living proof and living example that one, that you can defy all the odds put against you, but two, more importantly, someone who deals with adversity on a regular basis. I'm one to show you that when times get tough, when things don't always go your way, or when things that seem a little bit cloudy, you can continue to push through. You continue to put in the effort, the hard work, and the determination, and allow the people around you to be there as your helping hands. You're able to accomplish amazing things and chase your dreams and tackle them and accomplish them. I think that's the main thing for me is just being able to live my life. I look at myself as someone who just lives their life the best they can and goes at it 100%. But at the same time, I want someone to show, if I can just one person see that, look, no matter how tough it can get, if you work hard and you have enough belief in yourself, you're going to accomplish amazing things.
Dingers in the Desert is being put on by Project 34 on January 26th, this Saturday. Gates open at 1:30 p.m. at Phoenix Municipal Stadium. You can get your tickets at project34.com. Corey, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm looking forward to checking out the event here on Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to having you guys out here, too. It means a lot that you guys are going to come out and support, and we're going to have a fun time.
Special thanks to Corey Hahn for joining us here on Diamonds in the Desert. Again, Dingers in the Desert. Doors open at 1:30 at Phoenix Municipal Ballpark on Saturday, January 26th. Great insight from him. And again, just one of the best guys around. I got to know him over the years. And this is a really cool event that they are all putting together here on January 26th. Thanks so much for tuning in to Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Jordan Hamm. We are going to, now that we are approaching spring training, I will definitely be doing these on a more frequent basis, hopefully weekly, with more guests to give you everything, not only D-backs, but ASU, U of A, GCU, and the high school scene. This is the Diamonds in the Desert podcast.